Leaders are readers. After interviewing over 300 experts on my podcast, I've compiled the top 30 books written by Mindset Advantage guests. You can download the list and listen to the episodes where I interview the authors at djhillier.com/30books. You can also head over to my Instagram bio to download the free ebook right now. Enjoy.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Mindset Advantage podcast, a show dedicated to insightful conversations in a world full of sound bites. Hosted by fitness coach, performance optimization coach, and national speaker, DJ Hillier. These podcasts are designed to help you attack the gap from where you are now to where you want to be. The episodes take a deep dive into leadership, mindset, and fitness. Follow the show on Instagram at Mindset Advantage Podcast and subscribe to his newsletter at djhillier.com. So let's get to it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is DJ Hillier, and you are listening to episode 348 of the Mindset Advantage Podcast. Before I tell you about my amazing guest today, I first have some very exciting news to share. On April 27th, I will be releasing my brand new first ever book, Push the Sled, 7 Skills to Build an Elevated Mindset and Amplify Performance in Your Sport. I've been working hard on this book for the last year, and I am so ecstatic to finally release it and launch it out into the public on April 27th. If you'd like to support me or this podcast, purchasing a copy of this book and leaving a review or rating on Amazon would be greatly appreciated. I have come to learn as of recent that the purchase is one thing, but adding the review is almost just as good when it comes to gaining exposure through the algorithm and climbing certain lists that books are on and all that fun stuff. So if you would, purchase the book on April 27th and leave a review on Amazon. I'm so excited to see what you guys think about this book that I've been working so hard on the past year. I have a feeling you're going to love it. Today's guest is Jordan Montgomery. Jordan is the owner of Montgomery Companies and is a highly regarded performance coach and keynote speaker whose clients include business executives, sales organizations, and entrepreneurs. From small town Iowa to dominant force in the performance industry, Jordan travels the country speaking and coaching executives at Fortune 500 companies, as well as professional athletes and sales professionals. Some of the topics we get into were first the turning point in Jordan's life in 2015. Jordan was on the top, at the top of his world in sales and in business and in life. And to his surprise, he was called into his boss's office to hear the news that he would no longer be working at that firm. After that, we talked about how to build character, how to seek out character, and how to hire high character folks. After that, we talked about his brand new book, Encouraging Others, what it looks like to encourage yourself, what it looks like to encourage others, a message that is simple, but is something that we can constantly hear more and more of in this day and age. After that, I asked him what his advice was to somebody listening who just got let go of their job. And let me close down by talking about a great topic, a great distinction, the difference between separating the who from do, separating who you are from what you do. A quick note here, a little side note. We had a lot of technical difficulties, Jordan and I did. We tried to record this episode on a Wednesday, and he's in Iowa. I'm in Minnesota. There's a snowstorm in Iowa. It is super windy up here in Minnesota. Internet wasn't great. We decided to come back to it 48 hours later. Internet still was a little bit shaky. So I apologize in advance. I still think there is a lot of wisdom and a lot of gold in this episode, but just bear with me on some of the parts of the episode where it kind of comes in and out. Overall, I think you're going to feel a very authentic, genuine, and just warm vibe from Jordan. And I really wanted to share that with you guys. So I apologize in advance. Stick with me. There's still a ton of great pieces of wisdom in the conversation. If you do enjoy this episode, please be sure to leave a rating, review, and share it on your social medias. Also, remember to purchase my brand new book, Push the Sled, 7 Skills to Build an Elevated Mindset and Amplify Performance in Any Sport on Saturday, April 27th on Amazon. All right, without further ado, let's get to this conversation with the man, Jordan Montgomery. Let's go. Jordan Montgomery, welcome to the Mindset Advantage podcast. We've had some unstable internet for the last couple of days, but we're going to give this a shot. A little adversity doesn't hurt anybody. That's for dang sure. Jordan, welcome to the show. Glad to finally have you here.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me, DJ. Working through some kinks with technology. But hey, to your point, where there's a will, there's a way. So honored to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. I've learned a lot from you the last couple of weeks. You know, adversity is what you make it, and it's not the end of the road. It's just the bend in the road. And if we go back to 2015, you had a moment in your life where there was a little bit of a bend in the road. Can you take the listeners back? Because that's a really pivotal part of your life, kind of your launching pad to where you are now. Can you walk us through that moment?
Yeah, for anybody listening who's going through a bit of adversity, who's been through adversity, maybe you can relate. I think one of the things that unifies us, DJ, is we all go through tough times. You know, you're either going into a storm, you're in a storm, or you're coming out of one. So if you're human, you probably face some tough stuff. I'm not the only one. But I hope my message is helpful specifically to that person that's struggling right now. Just believe this, DJ, we're most qualified to help the person we used to be. This message helps one person who's going through struggle, who finds himself in a situation that I was in years ago. Man, this conversation will be totally worth it. Man, 2015, I'll set the stage. I was 27 years old. I was running a large financial firm. We actually had the fastest growing office inside of a Fortune 100 company. Man, I was flying all over the country. I'm sitting courtside. I'm front row at concerts. I'm backstage with different artists and celebrities. And I mean, I just been thinking, I'm living the high life, right? And I'm living in the penthouse. I was the closing speaker at a big annual conference, 15,000 people. I mean, life is just going really well, you know, from an outward, secular, worldly viewpoint, I had it all. But the problem was, I was overexposed and developed. And my character really wasn't keeping pace with my influence. So I'm not sure that God caused it to happen, but I think he allowed it to happen. Man, 27 years old, April 1st, 2015, we actually just celebrated the 9-year anniversary of this date. And I say celebrated because I promise you the story has a good ending. Got a text message initially from my boss, my supervisor at the time. He said, man, we got to talk. I need to see you in my office as soon as possible. And I was so naive. I said, hey, boss, not today. I got things to do. Maybe we catch up another day, but I got a full calendar. And then he responded. He said, this is the kind of meeting that you clear your calendar for. So I knew it was serious, right? And again, I'm naive. I'm thinking, well, somebody on my team, a couple hours later, I find myself in his office. I walk into his office. I'll never forget the first words out of his mouth. He said, you haven't been malicious or intentional, but you've been careless and casual. And when you're casual, you create casualties. Today, you are the casualty. It will be your last day with our firm. And just like that, my whole life changed. And I say life, not just business, life, because the thing that I had been living for was that business. It was the achievement. It was the success. It was the bank account. It was the awards. Like DJ, that had just become my identity. And at 27 years old, when that was taken away, man, it just rocked me from the inside out. It wasn't just the business that I lost. I was involved in some real estate deals at the time. The deals go sideways. So I didn't just lose all my money. I remember one night laying in bed a few nights removed from this conversation with my boss, and I'm Googling bankruptcy. You know, and I just remember the shame and the embarrassment. There was a company-wide email that was sent out with my name on it that said I got terminated. And somebody on my team had taken a test. So somebody's thinking, well, what happened? Somebody on my team took a test on my behalf. I didn't report it like I should have. It probably could have been a slap on the wrist, but my supervisor was like, hey, I don't trust your character. I'm gonna part ways. And more than that, like I just wasn't dotting my I's. I wasn't crossing my T's. I was just running too fast. And I think he just eventually said, hey, I don't trust your character. And so we're gonna go a different direction. Thankfully, a guy by the name of Tim Bohannon steps into my life. and gives me a second chance. He's in Minneapolis, Minnesota, same firm. So I could still work for the firm. I just wasn't going to work for the same supervisor. And he says, hey, for the next 2 years, you're not going to speak. You're not going to coach. You're not going to train. In other words, I don't want you on the front stage. You're just going to work on the backstage. And we're going to trust that God's going to do something in you before he does something with you. So for 2 years, man, I got in the Word, you know, for the first time. Like, I read my Bible, started spending more time with my family, got some coaching, some mentoring. I started listening to people around me, and God just humbled me. You know, there's that scripture, like, he opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble, man. Like, God just met me in my brokenness in a really unique way, and he put me back on my feet. And I think there's some people listening, you probably know, like, sometimes God's preparation for life is pain. You don't want to go through it. It's really hard, but ultimately it's for your good. And that's what happened to me, DJ. So I met my now wife in the midst of that broken season. She was also in a broken season. She had come out of a divorce a couple years removed and had two beautiful little girls, 5 and 3, Audrey and Claire. And what I didn't know at the time was God was preparing me to be a husband and also a daddy. So I was about to step into Audrey and Claire's life as initially this guy that was just, you know, dating their mom, and then got down on one knee July 1st and asked her to be my wife. She becomes my wife. We start this family. We now have 4 children. We've started a business, and we've just committed to helping leaders develop spiritually, emotionally, personally, professionally. And so our company is Montgomery Companies. There's 20 of us. My wife and I run this business together. And again, spending a lot of time helping people avoid some of the mistakes that I made as a leader. And man, it's just been a blessing to do this work. And so a little bit about my backstory. So many of us have that story where, you know, sometimes your greatest pain becomes your greatest ministry, or become part of what you're committing your professional life to. And we're just fortunate that we have a story of brokenness and trial, but also one of triumph. And you know, God's used every ounce of what we've gone through for good. So that's kind of the quick background on, you know, you mentioned adversity, some of the adversity that I've been through.
That's amazing, Jordan. I want to go back. There's a couple quotes that are a little bit piercing. And the first one was, when you're casual, you turn into a casualty. That one really raises my eyebrows. Talk to me a little bit about what could that look like in some of the listeners' lives right now? What does it mean if you're casual and you might be turning into a casualty? Can you break down that a little bit more for my listeners?
Yeah, so, you know, I get this question a lot from younger leaders, specifically DJ, or emerging leaders, those who maybe want more influence, they want a promotion, they're trying to build their brand, they want to be out front, maybe they want to run a company. And so the question is, hey, what should I work on? What's the one thing that I should be like studying or focused on as I develop, you know? And the answer that I give is different than the answer that I would have given many years ago before I went through all that. But what I tell leaders today is, if there's one thing you need to work on, it's your character. And the thing with character is, it's not an outward thing. It's not a front stage thing. It's a backstage thing, and you work on it in the dark. So if you really want to mature and grow, and you don't want to be the casualty, you don't want to be, you know, living a life of just enough, then I'd say surround yourself with great mentors. Find some people who are really willing to challenge you. I'm a person of faith. So for me, it was getting into the Word of God. You know, it was staying close to the Lord, staying connected to the vine, really making sure that he was chief priority in my life. I think I had always said that. I just wasn't living that. So yeah, I think it's living a life on purpose. You know, it's bigger than you. It's bigger than what you do for a living. It's even bigger than your family. Like, God gave you unique gifts. He trusted you to use those gifts. You know, Luke 12:48 says, to whom's been given much, much is required. To whom's been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. So if you don't want to be casual, consider the gifts that you've been given and go all out to make a difference in this life. Do it in a way that's kingdom-minded and eternally significant. I just believe this place is not our home. We're here for a really short period of time, but we're called to steward our gifts well, and we get one chance, you know? And so I don't want to be casual, man. I live that life of kind of just enough. But today, man, I want to live life on purpose and go all out with the gifts that God's entrusted us with.
Man, I love that. And I love that you said the word character. In another Instagram post of yours I was researching the last couple of weeks, you talked about the difference between character and charisma. Character and charisma. Can you break that down a little bit?
Well, I think we're drawn to charisma, right? I'm drawn to charisma. I mean, you know, DJ, you're somebody who has a really high level of charisma, you know, like you get around DJ, you're like, man, I just want to be around this guy. He's like, he's got good energy. Like he's a gifted communicator. Like, and you're thoughtful. You're clearly really good at building relationships. And so it's easy just to be drawn to people for those sort of reasons. And sometimes we're so drawn to the charisma that we actually miss the character, or we start following somebody because of their charisma, even though they lack character. And I think that's a dangerous place to be, because then all of a sudden you're getting into conversations about marriage or parenting or making really big decisions. And you've kind of decided to mesh your life with this other person because of their skill set or charisma or maybe knowledge in a certain subject matter. And now they're having a real influence on your life in ways that they maybe shouldn't. I'll give you an example of this. I won't let her be nameless. Okay. And by the way, this is not a commentary on divorce. Okay. So we have a family story of divorce. I had two parents that were divorced. My wife was divorced. God redeems and reconciles. And so if you've been through that and you're listening, this is not a judgment on divorce. People get divorced for all kinds of reasons. And I just want to make that comment. But this person I was following, she, ton of charisma, like very, very gifted communicator. If I said her name, most people would know her. And still to this day, I think she's a good person. I'm not making this commentary to say she's a bad person. But she kind of made this comment, like, if it's not working in your marriage, just, you know, go separate ways. Like, it's okay. Just like break it off. Now, some people might agree with that. I tend not to agree with that. That doesn't align with my values. So if that aligns with your values, then maybe that's not a problem, right? But for me, I found myself in a moment where I had followed someone for years because of their charisma. Now, all of a sudden, they're making a comment about one of the most sacred areas of my life. Thankfully, it didn't impact me, right? I wasn't sitting there going, that's great wisdom. But there's probably been other moments in my life, DJ, where I have bought into something that I shouldn't because I was following somebody for their charisma instead of their character. So, and to the young leader, I would just say this. People can be impressed with your charisma, but they fall in love with your character. So once somebody knows they can trust you, once a senior leader goes, okay, wow, DJ's got great character. You know, and I know you're a character guy. You don't just have charisma. You also have character. But they go, wow, like DJ, I trust that guy. And he keeps his word. He follows through. He does the right thing. He's making wise choices. Well, now I want to partner with you. So I can be impressed with your charisma. I fall in love with your character. If you're a young leader, just say, man, work on your character. It's what you do in the dark. It's the discipline, small choices you make. It's the friends that you keep. It's how you handle the blessings that you've been given. I mean, it's all those little things that nobody sees. And for so many years, I didn't manage that well. And I was somebody who led with charisma until one day I didn't have a choice but to work on my character.
I love it. Jordan, as somebody that's running a company now and you're seeking out talent, hiring people, and you're working a lot with CEOs, my question then would be, Jordan, how do you seek out people of high character when you're in an interview process or something?
A couple practical things.
Go ahead.
A couple practical things that, that people could do. So if you're listening to this podcast and you hire or you select talent, or maybe you don't do that now, but one day you plan to, I would ask a lot more questions about background. And I specifically want to understand how people failed. Like, don't tell me about just how much you've won and how much success you've had and all the things that you've done right, but walk me into some of the pain points. You know, how has failure shaped your life? What has failure taught you? One of my favorite questions is, what is the greatest lesson you've ever learned? That's a John Maxwell question. On the other side of that question is a story about a time that somebody screwed up. And so I'm sort of testing for authenticity, for vulnerability, but I also want to know, how did they manage that? I've always said, DJ, I'm not really interested in having a deep friendship or a business partner who doesn't know rock bottom. Like, you actually become more valuable to me if you know what rock bottom feels like. And it's not to say that I want you to have, you know, three in your life. I'm just saying my experience with rock bottom people is there's a different foundation. There's a different character. They've had to walk through a storm, which has made them stronger, tougher, and more resilient. So I think we got to ask more questions about background. And then the other thing that I would maybe offer just as a suggestion, if you're hiring or selecting talent, is give somebody an exercise and see what they do with it, right? And maybe even allow it to be a little bit abstract. It doesn't need to be overly specific. It's like, hey, I want you to study, you know, give me an update on the history of the state of Iowa. And more specifically, I want you to give me an update on the governors of Iowa. We used to do this with our interns. We probably need to go back to it. And they're, so first off, they're like, why would I do that? That's totally abstract. So it's a little bit of an exercise in trust. Like, hey, we asked you to do it. Are you willing to do something we asked you to do, even though it doesn't make sense? Number two is, are they going to come back with a 2-page report or a 50-page report? Mm-hmm. One of the things that I'm looking for is a person who's hardwired to overdeliver. And so everybody says they work hard. Everybody says they're going to overdeliver. I want to test for that. I want to test for initiative and character. Those are two things that we test for, you know, when we're interviewing or selecting a partner.
I think another piece too is, how do you respond in adversity? You know, you and I, we've had some internet troubles the last couple of days. You want to see somebody's character. What are they like when their Wi-Fi cuts out or their cell phone doesn't work? It's just simple things like that, almost putting people in a scenario of failure and just watching, how do you respond? Because if you can't respond when your Wi-Fi goes out, I'm not going to be able to trust you when, you know, XYZ happens in the business.
Man, I love that you just said that. I had a mentor, he would always say, you can tell a lot about a person watching them play hurt. Mm. So even as we record this right now, DJ, I think you're seeing me clearly, but for some reason it's still cutting out on your end, but I could catch enough of it where we're still holding this conversation. It's like, it's all good, right? Like, we're jamming, we're having this conversation, hopefully helps some people. It's like, yeah, we're going to get through it. It's all good. You know, a little bit of Wi-Fi. And even if there are a little bit of breaks, hopefully you're hanging with us. But yeah, it's like, how many times do we let the small things in life throw us sideways? And that we actually, it almost become like an unattractive version of ourselves, right? Like, you ever play golf with somebody who's not a good golfer? Mm. My brother said this to me once. He said, there's only one thing worse than playing golf with a bad golfer. A bad golfer who's mad about it. You know, like, they're swinging the clubs and they're like, you know, they're yelling stuff. And it's like, he's like, dude, you're not a good golfer, Jordan. Like, just have fun. It's like, you know what? You're right. I'm not a good golfer. Maybe this is a little bit embarrassing, or, you know, it's the proverbial hurt, right? Like, I wish I was better. But how I manage that communicates a message to everybody else around me. And we all know what that's like. If you ever played the game of golf with somebody who's really bad, I'm not very good, but I've played with some really bad, you know, people. And then they just get super frustrated. And you're like, I never want to hang out with you, like, literally ever again. Whereas if they just laughed it off and had fun with it, you know, it's like, no big deal. I don't care how you are at golf, but I am watching how you handle things that you're not good at. So anyway, yeah, would sign off on that sentiment, DJ.
Another piece, another quote that popped out was, you said something along the lines of, God packages your pain as, can you fill in that blank? What was that line? That was great.
Yeah. Sometimes God's preparation for your life is packaged as pain. Now, I don't think God, like, causes pain. I'm not saying, like, oh, God has, you know, introduced this sickness or this adversity. But I do think sometimes he allows certain things to happen. And the scriptures are pretty clear. I think about James 1, 2 through 4, like, consider it pure joy when you go through trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And so the point is, in adversity, there is also blessing, because there's perspective and understanding and wisdom that gets developed as a result of that experience. I'm literally going through something kind of difficult right now, not in my business, not in my family life. It's with a kind of a group of friends. And I'm just kind of trying to remind myself, God, I've seen you in my life before use difficult things for good. And I don't know how you're going to do it this time, but I just know you're teaching me something. There's something I'm supposed to learn. There's something I'm supposed to understand. There's a different perspective that I'm supposed to have. And I'm trusting that as I go through this pain, preparing me for something on the other side. And I think if we keep that perspective, then it's easier to make sense of some of the things that we go through. And you've seen it too, DJ, right? Like, how often are we called into a situation later in life that we dealt with earlier in our life? And we're more qualified, we're more helpful, more helpful, more productive because we've dealt with that before. So I'm most qualified to help the person I used to be. And in every adversity, there's probably somebody I'm going to help down the road who's dealing with a similar adversity. So I just believe that sometimes God's preparation for your life is packaged as pain.
I love that idea. To me, it's like I've been jamming on this recently within my writing my book, is this idea of that an elevated mindset, people with an elevated mindset, they're able to be in the suck, but then at the same time, they're able to zoom back, Jordan, and see the big picture. And sometimes that can be really difficult because they want to just be inundated with what's in front of them. But people that have an elevated mindset, they're able to see this moment. So the moment you're in right now with your friend group, but then they're also able to simultaneously pull themselves back and look at a big picture point of view. And when you look big picture, that really helps put things in a little bit more perspective. So it's kind of the zoom in and zoom out. Do you follow me there?
So good. Really important, DJ. It's like you're a, it's almost like you're a mindset coach that helps people at a high level. You know? Your work is important, man. I love this idea that if it's not going to matter 5 years from now, don't spend more than 5 minutes thinking about it. But the reality is we're human. And so that, while that sounds good, and it makes a nice quote, it's like, well, you might spend more than 5 minutes. We're human. But the ability to say, where am I going to be 5 years from now? And does this really make a difference? Does it really make a difference a year from now? How often do we get caught up on something that just really doesn't make a difference? And if we zoom out, we can see that more clearly. But more importantly, I think about the scripture in Romans, right? Like, all things work together for good according to those who love him and are called to his purpose. Well, so we hear that and we're like, okay, I got it, God. So what that means is, with this friend, something goes wrong here. So then with this other friend, something goes right. And we want to make sense of that in like worldly terms. And I think God's saying, well, sometimes it works out in worldly, you know, in our life here on earth. But what if I'm doing some things in your life that literally make a difference in your eternity? Like, what if I am redesigning, restructuring some of the steps to your life such that you're going to have an eternal impact that's far more significant? And maybe not even like your eternal impact, but maybe like God teaches you something. And so now you start treating people a different way, or you start living with a different purpose. You've got a different purpose of what you've been through. And you're literally making an eternal kingdom-minded impact on people that you interact with. And you might say, well, gosh, God, your scripture says all things work together for good. I never saw it in my life. And I think that's part of the point, is God saying, well, you might not see it, but rest assured, I'm working for the good of those who love me, and I am going to be able to connect the dots. And I just don't think we're able to see all that. We have a really limited view. Our time here on earth is limited, and we have a limited perspective, limited view. But I do believe that God is working for us. And I think that's also a powerful way to zoom out and think about some of the adversity that we deal with.
I love that. That's zooming out even further than what I was thinking, man. I love that. Thank you for enlightening that. So before we move on from the beginning story, I had to ask the John Maxwell question then for you. And I haven't asked this question in 5.5 years of doing this podcast, but Jordan, what's the lesson, or what's the advice you would give to the listener that just got laid off from their job? Maybe they just got the news that you got. What advice do you have somebody that just got laid off? What do you tell somebody in that stage of life? This is something that I haven't asked yet.
Yeah, your life still has purpose. God's got a plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11. I have great plans for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Plans for you to prosper. You know, so God's got a plan for your life. Your life isn't meaningless just because you lost this job. And even though it feels really dark right now, like, I remind somebody, you have not been buried. You've been planted. God can do amazing things from the rubble. Sometimes he has to do something in you before he can do something with you. So I don't know what it is that he's trying to teach you, but there might be something he's trying to teach you, something he wants to offer you, someone he wants to introduce you to, something he wants to introduce you to. And he can do that in far greater ways than you could ever imagine. And so he's just done that for me. I also think, like, when I was going through that, DJ, that all sounded good. Like, I'd listen to a podcast and I'd be like, oh, wonderful. You know, that sounds good. And, but then, you know, like, you get done with the podcast and reality sets back in. Right. So, let me offer some tools. Cause I think tools are helpful. Number one is, get in the business of speaking to yourself. You can either speak to yourself or listen to yourself. And the devil's greatest game is what if. So for that person that just got let go, the devil's whispering in your ear right now is, what if you never get the job back? What if you never get a similar job back? What if you don't have any money? What if you lose your influence? What if people don't like you? What if? That's listening to yourself. Speaking to yourself would be, hey, God, I'm trusting that your promises are true and you have a plan for my life and you're going to give me a hope and a future. And so I don't know how this is going to work, but I trust you and I'm excited about my future and I'm looking forward to what you have for me. So I'm not praying the problem, I'm praying the promise. And I'm really getting in the mode of speaking to myself instead of listening to myself. Our ability to externalize our thoughts has been super powerful, both negative and positive. So be really careful about externalizing negative thoughts. Be also really mindful about externalizing positive thoughts. And then, final thing I'd say on this topic is just, you know, God took his son, but he left his book. I asked my mentor one time, I'm like, hey, why don't you think God ever, like, why didn't he just come down from the sky and talk to us? You know, like, couldn't he do that like once in a while? Like, wouldn't that just make the Christian faith easier? And my mentor, his name is Dale. He said, well, he tried that once and it didn't go well for him. You know, he was here for 33 years. And they persecuted him and laughed at him and ultimately crucified and killed him. So the point is this, God took his son, he left his book. If you want to hear from God, you want to know God. And let me say this to the person who doesn't know God. There's somebody listening, like, and all this talk about scripture and Jesus and like, what, I mean, DJ, what are we doing here? You know, you got this Jordan guy on, he's talking Bible. What are we doing? Listen, you might not know God. I promise you, God knows you. And the way that he communicates to you is through his word. God took his son. He left his book. If you want to know the Lord, you want to know the plans that he has for your life. You want to know about the hope and the future that we just talked about. Get into the word because it's all there. His promises are true and he's waiting for you to dive in. So two things, and we could probably talk about two things, DJ, but two things I would offer to somebody who just is in the middle of that adversity. Maybe you just got fired or you just broke up the relationship, or you just lost that friend, or maybe there's a sickness or an illness. I don't know what it is. Be really careful with your talk. Speak to yourself. Don't listen to yourself. Get in God's word and watch it make a difference. Those are two things that I offer.
Those are phenomenal, Jordan. Thank you for that, man. That gives me goosebumps. He left his book. That's awesome. And I have goosebumps all down my back on that. Let's kind of turn the page here. We're talking about a book here. You have a book coming out here this summer called The Art of Encouragement: How to Lead Teams, Spread Love, and Serve from the Heart. Again, a new topic that I haven't seen a lot of, and I surely haven't talked about it on this podcast in 350 episodes. I would love to take a deep dive into the word of encouragement. As a coach, I love the word encouragement. I've been told by a lot of people that I'm very encouraging. And so I'm excited to read the book when it comes out, Jordan. But let's break it down, man. First and foremost, why that book and why right now?
Well, I heard John Maxwell one time say the book you need to write is the one that you live. So for me, it was the most natural thing to write about because it's something that I've always appreciated about other people. I've always really valued encouragement. Like you, DJ, people have said to me like, hey, you have the gift of encouragement. And so it's natural for me to write that book about that topic. But I also believe this, we're all different people. And right now we live in a really divided world. I mean, you don't have to look too far to understand the tension and the division and the differences that are so apparent in business, sports, and politics, and so forth. There's a universal language, I think. And it crosses cultures. you know, it crosses political lines. It crosses, you know, you talk about people of different faith backgrounds, and the language is encouragement. It's being able to be genuinely kind and authentic and uplifting and winsome with people. And my belief is that if we can operate that way, first off, that's how Jesus lived. Now, Jesus was also willing to challenge. So I want to be clear. This isn't a warm, fuzzy, like, oh, just hug everybody, rainbows and unicorns type book. Jesus was also willing to challenge. But Jesus was the most encouraging force that ever walked the planet. And he crossed cultural lines and he crossed political lines. And I think he's still doing that today. And so I wanted to write a book about how to connect and communicate with others in a universal way for all people at all times. And I believe the language of encouragement helps us do that.
I love it, man. I can't wait to get my hands on it. If you wouldn't mind, would you mind sharing maybe your favorite part of the book? Is it a favorite tool? Is it a favorite story? Like what's one piece of the art of encouragement that you are like really proud of?
Well, I'll just go back to that broken chapter, you know, of my life. I got fired and so many people helped me, you know, in that season of my life. But I had one person, probably the most constant person in that season. So again, I'm not married at the time, don't have a family. I talked to my dad probably every day that year, like literally 365 days. I've talked to him every day. My dad came to visit me in Minnesota. I just moved there. I'm new to town. I don't know anybody. So I'm living in like this high rise building. Maybe you feel lonely right now. Man, I've been there. I didn't know anybody, literally didn't know anybody. I think I knew like two people in the entire city. My dad comes and visits me. I've been there a few weeks and I'm like, Dad, I just want to go home. I just want to go back to Iowa. I want my business back. I want my life back. But I knew I couldn't go back because as long as I was doing this business, I wasn't going to go work for the same guy. So I was sort of committed to Minnesota, at least for a period of my life. My dad's getting ready to leave and head back home to Iowa. It's Sunday afternoon. And I just felt the weight of like, I guess I almost felt like a little kid, right? Like, oh, my dad's leaving. I don't want him to leave me. Like, he's kind of been my comforter this weekend. We had this great weekend, went to church and we hit a ball game together. It was just a really good weekend in the midst of a hard time. My dad said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Before I leave, we're going to open the Bible and we're going to study God's promises and we're going to write down God's promises on a piece of paper. Do you have any paper? I said, I do. I got some post-it notes, but I'm also like, Dad, I don't really want to do this. Like this feels kind of hokey and like elementary. I'm not, you know, a middle school child anymore. He's like, no, stay with me. What we're going to do is we're going to create a war room. And I'm going to make sure that your apartment, and then you're going to do this with your car, and then you'll do this at your office at work. I'm going to make sure that God's word is present in your life. Like it is literally all around you. I want you to see God's word when you're brushing your teeth. I want you to see God's word when you're going to bed. I want you to see God's word when you walk in the door, when you walk out of the door. I want to create a war room, Jordan, so that God's word is ever present in your life. And I want you to read it out loud. I want you to memorize scripture. Let's just like create a war room so you can be encouraged by the word of God. Now, we write about this in the book as the art of self-encouragement. But I did learn God's word in that season. I couldn't even get away from it. I mean, it was the first time in my life where I really started to study it. And I studied it because it was just literally all around me. And so maybe you're in a season, it's war room time. You know, like you went through something really difficult and like, hey, my friend, my brother, my sister, it's time to get back off the mat of life. Like God has a plan for you, like create the war room. Maybe it feels hokey, but like, look, I was at a place where I'm like, I'll do anything. I am so broken and I am so down and out. Like, fine, Dad, I'll try it. And at the time it felt like the silliest thing. And it was one of the greatest gifts. So that's one of the chapters of the book. That's one story that I'm proud of. I'll never forget that moment with my dad. That day, that Sunday afternoon with my dad had a lasting impact on my life. I'm still talking about it, you know, 9 years later. So the book is filled with kind of practical tools and tips to help you encourage others, encourage yourself. And hopefully by doing so, you make a difference in the world around you.
So I kind of see it. It's two different ways, Jordan. It's encouraging yourself, knowing how to do that, and knowing how to encourage others. So if we stay on the topic of encouraging yourself, I love this idea. It's almost like, you know, I teach with Mental Performance on creating vision boards and creating, curating the environment around you so it's conducive to who you want to become. So whatever you have on the walls, right? Have that be some sort of an uplifting message. Like literally create the environment that is going to be helpful for you. And what I'm hearing for you is one way to do that. Because what happens is what I think, Jordan, and I'm just assuming for people, is that the older you get, the less encouragement you may get. When you're younger, you got your parents, friends, parents, everybody's giving you encouragement. A lot of people are talking to you. But the older you get, sometimes there's less of that voice. So if I'm hearing you correctly, Jordan, one of the tools that you're recommending is stir up and create the encouragement yourself and put it anywhere you need to put it, in the car, on the radio, on the wall. Create some encouragement yourself and don't rely on other people to spoon feed you encouragement every single day. Is that the tool? Is that the strategy? Am I following that correctly?
Yeah. It's like, man, how many times does our circumstance define the way that we feel or define how we think about ourselves or think about the world around us? It's like, well, I'm not going to let circumstance have that kind of effect on me. I'm going to create my own circumstance. You know, you and I talk so much about the mental game, DJ, as performance. You know, you're a performance coach. I'm a performance coach. What drives the mental game is the environmental game. You know, that's our good friend, Ed Milet. The environmental game drives the mental game. So you want to have a sharp mental game, create a sharp environment. And again, for me, the war room was part of my environment. So I don't know if, you know, that we could talk about that with friends. It's the people, places, and things. It's not just the rooms or the scripture, but it's the friends. It's the things you watch or don't watch. It's the people you hang out with or don't hang out with. The environmental game drives the mental game. And if you ought to have a sharp mental game, if you want to be encouraged and you want to continue to grow your self-esteem, your self-confidence, pay really close attention to the environment. And then again, create the environment. Don't allow the environment to create you. Create the environment, which then helps establish who you become.
And I think too, there's nothing too small for this, right? Like something that I've changed recently, especially since having our daughters, every time we're in the car, we listen to worship music, right? And that's been just a change because of her and something that we want to surround. That what I'm getting at is those are the little things. Those are the little, call them 1%, if you will, for James Clear, is that it doesn't have to be these big, you know, huge change relationships. Of course, that you might fall in that category. But really what we're saying is if you want to feel better, if you want to have some more encouragement, to use your word, it might just be little small things. What are you listening to? What are you putting in your ears? What are you looking at? What are you reading? Hey, how about, what are you watching on Netflix? You know, I've felt myself in the past 6 months, if we're watching, you know, murder documentaries and things like that, I don't feel as good on the inside, brother. And so what are you watching? So what I'm trying to get at is, long story short, is it can be very, very small things. And those small things will add up because little by little, little becomes a lot.
Man, so good. And yeah, I love that you shared about your daughter and driving in the car and the worship music. Same thing, man. So one of my kind of, you know how you kind of divide and conquer with your spouse, right? And so there's certain things that she does and that I do. One of my responsibilities is bath time. So, when I'm home and I'm not traveling, which is a good majority of the time I'm home, I do bath time for our two youngest, our littles. Our two oldest don't need help with bath, but we have a 4-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. And so we do, you know, I do bath time. Well, for a long time, I would play country music. We're country music fans. And so country music is just kind of on in the house. And so nothing wrong with Thomas Rhett or Kelsey Ballerini, like, you know, whatever, right? And our kids like country music. And so my daughter, she'd sing a Thomas Rhett song, you know, like, Star of the Show or, you know, whatever, Die a Happy Man. And she'd be singing along with the lyrics. And there's something kind of cute and endearing about that. But then you put on like some, you know, Phil Wickham or Chris Tomlin, you know, or Brandon Lake. And like to watch my daughter, to listen to my daughter, like sing of scripture and God's promises. Whew, like, you know, you're feeling that too, man. When your daughter, it's like, I want that to be the narrative. I want that to be the message that's coming out of her mouth. And again, nothing wrong with country music. I'm just saying, like, as a parent, how impactful is that for your child that you're helping to control the narrative that they're externalizing and vocalizing to not just themselves, but the world around them. So dude, job well done as a parent, man. I love to hear that that's part of your world. But those are, again, those are little things that we so often don't pay attention to. I'm not sure if I was just jamming out the Thomas Rhett. Again, nothing wrong with that. But that little shift in like, hey, once in a while, they will say, we still do Thomas Rhett and, you know, whatever, Tim McGraw, but once in a while, like let's get in some worship music, you know, let's, let's let that be the anthem that our kids are singing out loud. Small shift that, to your point, has a big impact.
I love it. So that we look at those types of strategies as how to encourage yourself. It starts with your environment. Let's flip that page now. So another piece of your title is spread love, serve from the heart. So now, because I think when people think encouragement, they think how to encourage others. What does that look like? Some people, they might not know what that looks like, or they might think it, they might have some misconceptions about what that could be. Jordan, could you break that down a little bit on how to be more encouraging to other people?
Well, I think first off, you have to choose to see the good in people if you want to be encouraging to people. You know, I want to put a 10 on your, you know, we look at so many people, wow, they're not really there yet. They don't have it figured out yet. Ah, gosh, they still have some issues. It's like, right, but I'm not choosing to see them for who they are today. I'm choosing to see them for who they could become. God created them in his image. Their life has great purpose. I'm going to choose to see that. It's a choice. Like, it's a choice with my kids. I can choose to see my kids for the snotty, loud, frustrating kids that they can so often be. Or I can fall in love with who God created them to be. And so I think the first step is, if you want to be encouraging to other people, you have to choose to be encouraging by choosing to see the good. Everybody has good inside of them. I believe that. I mean, even some of the worst people to walk this planet, they're still, I mean, first off, they were created in God's image. Now, at some point, evil took hold and their life took a turn. But initially, this is my child. And I deposited things in them. There is good in them. I just believe that. There's good in people. And so it's my job to put a 10 on your forehead. It's my job to see the good in you. And then the second step is, I got to bring it out. So how do I help you see it? Because a great leader helps people see more and helps them see before. I want you to see more good, and I want you to see it before other people see it, or before maybe even you can see it. And so I know that sounds really basic, but if you want to be more encouraging, choose to see the good. Put a 10 on somebody's forehead, even though they don't deserve it. Even though right now they might be a 4. They could be a 10 if you help them see it. And then you bring it to life. So it'd be just a small step in encouraging others.
That second piece of showing it in them, I think that is, there's some gold in there, Jordan. I think that separates a good leader from a great leader. If you can show them the goodness in them and they might not see it, that take me on that journey, Jordan. What does that look like?
Well, I think, so often there's a defense that we put around ourselves, right? We reject. So somebody might say, you know, man, you're just really trying to get me to sell more. Or you just want this to sound good. You don't really believe this about me. You know, a little tip that's in the book, spend more time on the who than on the do. So as leaders, we spend a lot of time on do type encouragement. And what that would look like is, man, DJ, you got a great podcast, bro. Hey, I just love how you ask questions. I love how you prepare. What an honor it was to be on your podcast, man. Keep up the great work. You're rocking it. I've seen some of the guests you've interviewed, man. All that you're doing, it's awesome. Now, that might make you feel good. And it's not that any of that would be wrong. First off, that's right. I am impressed by you and I love what you're doing. But if before I talked about what you're doing, I also added to who you are. So as an example, I might say, hey, DJ, one of the things I picked up on about you in our short time together is you're extremely intuitive. I think God's given you a gift of discernment. And so I think your ability to read people and discern and figure out what somebody's thinking about or how they're feeling or what drives them, man, that's such an incredible gift, especially for a podcast host. So I just want you to know, like, dude, that is in you. God gave you that. That's a gift. I've so much enjoyed this conversation. And actually, I think so much of what you're doing is a result of how you're stewarding the gifts that God gave you. And so, dude, not just impressed with what you're doing, but I'm impressed with who you are. Man, keep rocking the podcast. Now, I don't know how you felt in either scenario, but I think most people feel a more authentic approach that penetrates the heart deeper when you orient the encouragement around the who and the do, and you don't just stop at the do, because our society does do really well. It's obvious. It's easy. Hey, Caitlin Clark, you're the best. You know, the whole world is telling her that. You know, we want to be the, hey, Caitlin, man, I love your leadership gifts. I see this in you. Here's some things that you do that not everybody does. It's easy to praise the do. It's much harder, and you have to be a lot more intentional about praising the who.
Oh man, I could jam on this, Jordan, for such a long time. As a mental performance coach, dude, this is a topic that I continue to go over with athletes, because at some point you're done playing whatever sport you're in. I just had Eric Wood on my podcast. He mentioned you in his book. Eric just got done playing in the NFL a few years ago. He's in his pivot of life. I'm in my pivot of life. I was competing at a really high level in CrossFit for a while. Now I'm pivoting into a little more business, being a father, etc. And there's so much power in talking about, journaling about, thinking about the who versus do before it's too late. Maybe not too late. It's never too late, but doing it before your days are done, I think, is crucial. You have a quote that I just love. It says this: if you praise someone for what they do, they might remember it. If you praise someone for who they are, they'll never forget it. One more time. If you praise someone for what they do, they might remember it. If you praise someone for who they are, they'll never forget it. My first thought is thinking of this to parents. I think parents need to hear this message more than almost anybody, because it's easy to go to the travel basketball game and then in the car you talk about how great they were and how they scored and all they did, all this stuff. But I think the parents, more than anything, Jordan, might need to hear this message on how are you complimenting your kids? How are you encouraging your kids? Are you complimenting and encouraging the who? Or are you complimenting and encouraging the do? Talk to me about that, because I know fatherhood's really important to you as well. Go ahead.
Man, isn't it easy to encourage our kids for their performance? It's really natural to do that. Like, oh, you scored a bunch of goals, or man, I watched you pass the ball today. Oh, great defense. You were killing it out there. Like, that's such a natural thing. And I do think our kids need some of that, right? So, like, again, this isn't I don't want to minimize, like, the do is still important. If you're in a for-profit business, results matter. Okay. So we do have to praise the do and make sure that we're being mindful of somebody's behavior, actions. I'll tell a quick story in closing. DJ, I can talk to you for 2 hours, man. I know we both have a meeting at the top of the hour, but literally could talk to you forever. My daughter tried out for the 7th grade girls basketball team this year. So Clear Creek, Amana Middle School, she tries out. She's a dancer, not a basketball player. She tried 1 year of basketball. We found out 5 minutes, maybe 5 seconds, actually. Not much of a basketball player. But 7th grade rolls around, and so now you can try out for, like, the school sports, right? And she's like, hey, Mom and Dad, like, I want to try out for basketball. Now, I'm thinking you're already really wrapped up in dance and you've already committed a ton of time. And gosh, this is going to be more time for something you're really not naturally gifted at. And so shame on me as a dad. My first response was not like, yes, go try basketball. I was a little more like, okay, like, you want to try basketball. You know, like, that was sort of my posture. So fast forward, you know, hey, sis, go get them, play basketball. 3 weeks later, first game. Told her, hey, you're probably not going to be on the A team, maybe not even the B team. I mean, you know, a lot of girls have been playing for a lot of years by now. You really have barely picked up a basketball. So sure enough, she's on the C team, 7th grade girl basketball. Let's just say, like, this is not the most athletic coordinated group of girls, right? I mean, literally, you could, you know, you'd call travel every 2 seconds, ball's bouncing out of bounds. Our little Audrey gets up to shoot a free throw. 3rd quarter, she gets fouled. She gets up to shoot a free throw. Score like 4-2, and she dribbles the ball twice and she chucks the ball and it goes over the rim, over the backboard, and literally onto the stage, into curtains. One of her teammates is like, don't hit it. So she, her teammate, trying to be helpful, leaves the court, jumps through the stage. Well, now Audrey's standing there, the game has stopped, and it's like, okay, I literally just chucked this ball clear over the backboard. It's my first free throw as a basketball player, kind of my big moment. And so Mom and Dad are like, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is not. And again, I'm like, okay, got to talk her out of basketball. This isn't good. Cause I'm so caught up in my daughter's performance. She gets done with the game. We got the truck out front. She jumps in with her bag. I looked at her. I said, sis, what'd you think? You know, first game, what'd you think? She says, Daddy, I'm really not a very good basketball player. And I'm thinking, like, hey, she's figuring it out. You know, she knows, she's getting it. We'll just do dance. It'll be great. Daddy, I'm really not a very good basketball player, but I loved being out there today. And in a moment, I went, wow, like here I've been totally focused and caught up in her performance and in her inability and what she didn't do. Instead of paying attention to the fact that my daughter, man, I get emotional talking about it. My daughter was willing to try something new that she wasn't good at. She was brave enough to suck at something new and put herself in a position where she was less than and still be okay with it. And here I am writing a book on the art of encouragement and over the deal. I completely missed it. I bring that up to say this. It's a choice. It takes intentionality. And I think so often we just miss it. We miss it with our kids. I miss it with my spouse. I miss it with our colleagues. I miss it with friends. So much of this book is elementary and foundational, but what's common sense is not always common practice. And I'm figuring that out of my own life. And so I want to make what's common sense, common practice, draw some parallels. DJ, I could talk to you forever. I know we got to run, but thank you, man, for having me on the podcast. Thanks for asking me about the book. Thank you for dealing with some of the technical difficulty and just doing it with such grace in class. And dude, I look forward to staying connected for a long time to come.
Awesome, man. How can my listeners follow you?
MontgomeryCompanies.com is the website. We've got a podcast, Growth Over Goals podcast. We're active on social media channels. On Instagram, handle is Jordan M, as in Michael Montgomery, Jordan M. Montgomery. Throw me a DM. I'd love to interact with anybody listening. Yeah, it'd mean a lot, DJ, if there's anything I could do to help from one performance coach to another. Would love to add value.
Awesome. Jordan, thanks. Go Hawkeyes.
Go Hawkeye, man. Have a great weekend.
See you soon.